The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Greetings. Thanks for coming along today. The Thursday edition, bright and sunny. It looks like springtime out there.
Really doesn't look anything like springtime.
Holy smokes,
it's
right?
It's as gray as it could possibly be. And we've gotten mail for the first time that's breaking news, apparently.
It just came in the mailbox today. Yeah, so now they've melded us together as a couple, John and Kathy Hall, which our spouses will be unhappy to hear about.
Right? World's longest engagement.
That's not good. That is
what, about 13, listen, 14 years?
We are nothing at all like those Good Morning America hosts.
No,
nothing. That's not happening.
Right. Okay. And this is not the morning show, you guys.
No, no.
Okay?
Please do not raise an eyebrow. That is not happening here. But it is interesting. The postman and apparently this publisher thinks that we are.
Yeah.
Well, what the heck?
Okay.
How are things?
You know what? Things are fine.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to... I'm in the middle of a C.S. Lewis book, and one of the lines in the book jumped out at me today.
Oh, okay, good.
Because I woke up this morning, and I looked out the window, and I thought, oh, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the sky has been this color for, like, 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It's been dark.
So I was a little cranky about it. Anyway, so I'm listening to my audiobook when I'm on my way to work.
Yeah.
And one of the lines in it is somebody says, one of the guys says, hey, I met my wife because we both really like weather. And the other person says,
what do you mean?
Well, we all like good weather. And he's like, no, I'm not saying I like good weather. I'm just saying we enjoy weather. We just like whatever it is.
In all its variety.
Like, it's just really interesting. And and he says, why? And the other person says, well, why are you like that? And he said, well, I've just been thinking about it, that every kid is born loving weather. And the person says, well, I didn't like weather when I was a kid. And he said, no, you didn't like weather because the adults in your life didn't like the weather.
Oh, that's interesting.
People are born liking all sorts of weather.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself,
yeah, okay,
what if I adopted that outlook?
Yeah. I think that's a good attitude, finally.
Yeah,
okay?
just look out and say, well, that's really interesting.
You know I like this day.
A different kind of weather.
Right, this is a good day.
Right.
It's fabulous out there.
And
it's kind of weird.
I pick on you for saying that, and maybe I should stop doing that.
I mean, seriously, that fog the other day, that was hard to top. Really, that was an incredible day.
Do you remember that episode of The Crown? In the first season with the fog?
Oh, of course.
Remember that one?
Yes.
Remember? And it
gorgeous.
Had, and the only time that fog had been like that was in, what was the Pittsburgh city where they had the same fog?
Right.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I want to say Delmont.
Where
that's
it killed
not it.
All these people. It settled in, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When John retires someday, he's going to sit at home all day and watch the Weather Channel, right?
By a bird feeder.
I think that's what my dad did.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
No. When I retire, if I retire, I'll be sitting at the ocean watching the weather.
Right. John's going to be at the beach.
That's the difference, really. Yeah, you're happy to do that. Anyway, good day here. Whether it's sunny or cloudy, we're happy that you are with us for the ride home. And as we always get underway with the top of the show, Kath presents the news stories, the top news stories of the day. Big goings on around the world,
yep.
Kath.
Yep.
So please, without further ado, give us the top four at four.
For Thursday, December 8th, 2022, number one. You may have heard already that Brittany Griner, the WNBA star who was held for months in Russian prisons on drug charges, was released this morning in a one-for-one prisoner swap for international arms dealer Victor Bout. The president said she's safe on a plane on her way home. The president said he spoke with Griner by phone, was happy to say that she was in good spirits. And to secure her release, the president ordered Bout to be freed and returned to Russia. He signed the commutation order the president did, cutting short Bout's 25-year federal prison sentence. Now, you might be wondering, what about the U.S. Marine who's over there? Paul Whelan. He's been in Russian custody for nearly 4 years, also convicted on espionage charges that the U.S. has called false. The president said, quote, "We haven't forgotten about Paul Whelan. We will never give up on securing his release." But apparently, someone from the U.S. said it was a choice between bringing home one particular American, Brittany Griner, or bringing home no one.
Right. I mean, pure and simple, that's just it's the power of celebrity, right?
I mean, it's has the become only explanation.
Listen, anybody who's in prison and they get sprung like that, I'm sure they're super happy. That's a very
right.
good thing.
It is.
I mean, really, she screwed up royally. She surely did. But a 9-year prison sentence in a Russian penal colony, nobody would want to do that. No one. So it's good news, but you also do raise an eyebrow and go, what the heck? There's others that are left behind.
Yeah. It's,
like, including a guy from Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
Speaking of good news,
I want to talk about Paul Whelan again for a minute. He once worked as a corporate security contractor, and he was in Moscow for a friend's wedding when he was detained at a hotel, and that was that.
A former Marine, yeah?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Number two. An ongoing measles outbreak in central Ohio has ballooned to 63 cases as of right now. Really? 25 children are in the hospital. Also, there's the surge of the flu, RSV, and COVID. So that's really making a mess. Measles apparently can present an issue like cold, like mild RSV, or like the flu. It's not until the rash appears that parents say, oh, wait, this is different. Three of the 63 children had received one dose of the MMR vaccine. The remaining 60 children are unvaccinated. It's not clear how large the outbreak could become. It's from ABC News. Number three. 27 people, John, were lashed in public today in Taliban-ruled Afghanistan as punishment for alleged adultery, theft, drug offenses, and other crimes. The lashings were carried out before a public gathering of locals and officials. The lashings come a day after the Taliban executed an Afghan convicted of killing another man. It was the first public execution since the Taliban took over. And listen to this. The execution, carried out by an assault rifle, was done by the victim's father. The execution was met with international criticism. However, a spokesman for the Taliban government said, quote, you ready for this quote? Unfortunately, a number of countries and institutions still do not have a proper knowledge and understanding of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. It's from ABC News. And number four, a zoning change approved this week by Pittsburgh City Council will streamline the process to convert existing downtown office space into residential units. This legislation was unanimously approved earlier this week and will allow proposed residential projects in the Golden Triangle to move ahead without being reviewed and approved by the Planning Commission. This comes as city officials have partnered with the county and state for a $9 million residential conversion pilot program that aims to revitalize downtown office buildings that have been sitting empty since COVID.
That's good news.
It's your top four at four.
Very nice. All right. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a couple who had twins that were from embryos frozen some 30 years ago. Well, we've dug a little further, and coming up in just a few minutes, the president of the National Embryo Donation Center, Dr. Jeffrey Keenan, will join us to talk about frozen embryos, the ethics of all that, straight ahead on The Ride Home.
101.5 WORD.
Playing Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music on the weekends with the best new Christmas music.
New music.
Behold from Phil Wickham and Ann Wilson. Come Home for Christmas by Matthew West.
Come Home for Christmas.
And O Come, O Come Emmanuel by Doug. The best new Christmas music.
Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music on the weekends on Word FM.
For most of us, it's hard to even look at. We've all seen the images of a hungry child. She can barely move because that hunger has left her exhausted, lifeless. There's a name for this. It's severe acute malnutrition. Save the Children works in poor areas and cares for the child you're thinking of right now. But they can't do it without you. Just $30 a month can help Save Children for less than a dollar a day, whether it's providing emergency nutrition or protecting children fleeing from the war in Ukraine, or a child in need in any of the other 120 countries around the world where Save the Children works. Your $30 a month can change everything for a child who's suffering. Call 888-884-8884. 888-884-4836. That's 888-884-4836. Or give online at SaveChildrenToday.org.
Today on Hey Culligan, soft water, cleaner environment. What do you say, Greg?
Hey Culligan, are you saying if I have a Culligan high-efficiency water softener, I'm also helping the environment?
It sounds like you're saying it, Greg, and yes, you are, because with the Culligan high-efficiency water softener, you'll use less detergent, soap, and harsh chemicals, and that's good for the planet.
Now you're saying it.
You bet I am, Greg. Soft water and a cleaner environment is already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test from a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Revival Today Church presents Celebrate the King, a free Christmas event for you and your family. With musical guests Uche Agu, Ron Canoli, Karen Sheard, and Jacqueline Carr, featuring the Revival Today Mass Choir. Along with a word from Pastor Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Saturday, December 17th at the Montour Junction Sports Complex. Doors open at 6. Sign up today at rtcregister.com.
I'm thankful for the time I get to spend with my family during Christmas.
Christmas is a time for gratitude at Eden Christian Academy.
I'm thankful for the opportunity that I get to spend time with those I love.
My favorite thing about the holiday season is seeing the look on my family's face when I give them a really good gift.
During the Christmas season, I'm thankful that I can see all of my family members in one place.
I'm thankful for the friends and relationships that I've made here at Eden.
Merry Christmas from your friends at Eden Christian Academy.
On October 31st of this year, Lydia and Timothy Ridgway were born. And that's a wonderful thing when a baby's born, and it's great when it's twins. It's super fun. But this was an unusual birth because both Lydia and Timothy were the longest frozen embryos to ever result in a live birth. The previous record holder was Molly Gibson, born in 2020 from an embryo that had been frozen for nearly 27 years. The embryos were created for an anonymous married couple using IVF, that's in vitro fertilization, and the embryos were frozen April 22nd, 1992, and for nearly three decades they sat in storage on tiny straws kept in liquid nitrogen at nearly 200 degrees below zero. Now the babies, they're just living their tiny little newborn lives. So to talk about that and this really fascinating story, we've invited Dr. Jeffrey Keenan to be with us. He's the president and the medical director of the National Embryo Donation Center. Dr. Keenan, welcome in.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Certainly the pleasure is ours, Dr. Keenan. Seriously, when we read this article, and I'm sure like millions of people across the country and around the world read this article, it sounds like something out of a science fiction novel. Something that's unimaginable has happened. Frozen babies from 30 years ago.
Yeah, there aren't too. There haven't been any babies that have been born over that are over 30 years old at the time of their birth. That's for sure. And it does sound kind of sci-fi, doesn't it?
It but, sure does. Yeah.
Technology has come such a long way, and you know the reason. One of the reasons this is notable is because when cryopreservation or freezing of embryos was first started, no one really knew what the length of time was that these embryos would be viable. Now we know it's at least three decades, and we think it's almost indefinite. Whoa. Because when these embryos are frozen at minus 196 degrees Celsius, which is really, really cold, and liquid nitrogen, all the metabolic processes stop or virtually stop. And so it appears that they have, you know, almost an infinite lifespan.
An almost infinite life. That's amazing to me, because when I first hear this story, and not to be disrespectful, but I often think about, you know, chicken in the freezer with freezer burn.
Well, these are frozen a little bit different way in a little bit colder temperatures. So I think that's the difference.
So what, you know, what I read at the beginning of the segment was from CNN, and there are, you know, tons of stories around the internet. John and I were just reading them compulsively the day that we discussed this, because we couldn't believe that this was a real thing. So the parents, Philip Ridgway and his wife, said it's kind of mind-boggling because the children that they've just given birth to are really their oldest children by, you know, a large
decades.
Span, considering their other children are something like 8, 6, and 4. So how do we get our minds around that?
Well, as difficult as that is to believe. I mean, the day is coming, and it won't be too long before it's here when a mother gives birth to a child who is older than she is. Hmm. So that's, I mean, think about that for a moment. That's pretty hard to wrap your head around as well, isn't it?
It surely is. So then tell us about this couple. How did they interact with you, Dr. Keenan, in the National Embryo Donation Center? Of course, 30 years ago, these eggs were not these couple's eggs, the mother's eggs. Talk about the juxtaposition of all these different aspects of people, personalities, life coming together to create new life.
Well, yeah, that was really the idea of the National Embryo Donation Center, John. Way back when, Dr. David Stevens, who's the head of the, who at that time was the CEO of the Christian Medical and Dental Association, called me and said, "Hey, Jeff, what do you think about the idea of having a national embryo donation center?" He knew I was doing it to some extent in my private practice. And I said, "You know, sounds like a good idea, Dave. You know, we ought to look into this." And you know, it was really a God thing after that. One thing led to another, you know, circumstances in my practice in the hospital in the city and the health systems, and you know, just all kind of the pieces all fit together. And I won't say it didn't take a lot of work, but there's a lot of it that was providential as well. And so, you know, the whole idea was so that we could connect these couples who have gone through in vitro fertilization and who are in a quandary and a real moral dilemma because they have these embryos that they know are the genetic siblings of their own children, and yet they don't feel for various reasons like they can or should have more children, and yet they don't want to destroy them. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there are couples who are longing and longing to have children who either have tried everything and it hasn't worked, or who just have a heart for adoption, or who can't afford other treatments. And for these couples, embryo adoption is a perfect fit. And so that's kind of how these couples get together through the National Embryo Donation Center. And that was kind of the whole reason for coming in to be.
I see. So talk about the, you know, when you look at eggs frozen for 30 years, and I'm sure all the patients, all the mothers are closely monitored at various stages throughout the pregnancy. Was there concern about, oh, you know, something could go wrong here or the viability of the eggs? I mean, is that any different than, you know, perhaps, you know, the natural process of the egg in the mother's womb?
Mm-hmm. Once the embryo survives and is intact after the freezing and warming procedure or thawing procedure, then it's been clearly shown that there are no increase in birth defects or other problems with the children. So really it was just a matter of would these embryos survive after being frozen for that long, and of course, they did and were transferred.
Fabulous. Okay, so, Doctor, obviously, you're speaking to a Christian audience here at our station. And of course, we're well aware of the abortion controversy that has been in this country for many, many decades. Can you talk about the eggs themselves? And how do you view the eggs? Are the eggs essentially human life?
Yeah. Well, I'll first just make one slight correction, John, and to say that the embryos are human life. Okay, so
okay, thank
the sperm and the eggs, the sperm and the egg joins and creates an embryo, and then yes, an embryo is a human life. And so, although many, even in our profession and our subspecialty, would say, "Oh, an embryo is not a human life, or it's not, you know, human life until it is born or what have you," the fact is that even though many embryos never make it to birth, on the other hand, we all started as embryos.
Yes.
And at that time, there is an absolutely distinct and human a genetic makeup of that individual embryo. And we don't know whether it's going to come to birth or not. And so, you know, in respect and honor of life, we have to give that embryo every chance to do it.
Yes. So then at the National Embryo Donation Center, then it is a, there's a sacredness to this. I mean, can you speak to that? I don't know if you're a believer. I'm thinking that you are a believer. Then so then talk about your Christian faith intersecting with your work. How does that work?
Right. Well, I mean, we are a Christian organization, and the whole all of our guidelines and bylaws are founded on Christian principles and couples that we feel that we can, in good conscience, work with. And we absolutely feel that all life is sacred from conception until natural death. And there are embryos that we transfer because they have perhaps one or two viable or living cells, but which are not dead, that we will not transfer, that many, in fact, not many, most other centers would not transfer because they say, oh, this embryo is not going to make it. But even if that embryo has a fraction of a percent chance of making it, we're going to transfer that because life is sacred and we have to honor and respect that at all times.
Dr. Jeffrey Keenan is our guest. He's the president and the medical director of the National Embryo Donation Center. Dr. Keenan, how many embryos are you at liberty to say how many you have at the donation center?
Wow. We've had, I think as far as embryo sets, that is, some couples donate a set of embryos that is maybe one embryo, and others, we've had as many as 30 embryos donated by a couple.
Wow.
But we've had a little short of 2,000 sets of embryos donated, and we've had almost 1,300 births now.
Wow.
So, Dr. Keenan, when someone is deciding to pursue in vitro fertilization, a couple has decided to do this, how many, what's the general number of embryos that they would have fertilized?
Well, in general, couples, or rather clinics, will fertilize or attempt to fertilize all of the eggs that are retrieved during an ovarian stimulation cycle. And so if the woman gets only a few eggs, or if that woman gets 30 or 35 eggs, they will attempt to inseminate all of them. And that's one of the big problems I have with our profession, is I don't think we do quite enough counseling in this regard. And our success rates are far more than twice what they were when I began my training. And yet we are still trying to create all the embryos we possibly can. That's why we have over 1 million embryos frozen in this country, at least half of which will never be used because couples have completed their child or their family building plans. And so we need to do a better job as a profession in talking to our patients about what their family building plans are and really how many eggs we want to try to fertilize, how many embryos we want to try to develop, because we have we're very capable of freezing eggs now. Eggs have no more moral value than a sperm. If you want to discard an egg or sperm, fine, happens every day naturally. But an embryo is a different thing. And we have to respect those, and I don't feel like we've really given that the attention that we need to.
Interesting. So since the birth of the twins, and of course the worldwide coverage of the birth of the twins, I'm sure you've been contacted by other organizations. Can you talk about that conversation? Have there been questions about legality or ethics or anything like that, something, you know, that people have concerns about?
Well, yeah, I mean, organizations do have concerns that we take a biblical view of marriage.
Yes.
But that's our story, and we're sticking to it, as they say. So, I mean, we can't practice outside of our own moral and ethical beliefs.
I see. So, I'm sorry. So, then you're saying that people have contacted you and perhaps raised an eyebrow because the organization is a Christian organization?
Well, that we're a Christian organization, and that we do think that a family consists of, one man and one woman
100%.
Joined in marriage.
Yes.
And those are the couples that we we'll work with as far as embryo adoption.
I see. And so then I didn't know this. Then you're educating me, doctor. Then there are other organizations who would not hold to that same values and belief system that you and I do in our audience. And so those eggs are open for whatever process, whomever would like to lack of a better word, adopt those eggs and create a human.
Right. Yeah. In fact, very, very, very few organizations hold on to a traditional biblical view of marriage as far as the couples that they treat.
Interesting.
Well, we want to thank you so much for being with us today.
We love this. This is a great story, Doctor.
You know, kind of filling in the blanks for us.
Is there anything that we're missing? Anything that that needs to be said about this story that somehow we've passed over? Because we love this. We're supportive of this story. In no way do we want to denigrate the work that you're doing. We think it's a wonderful thing.
Well, I thank you so much. You know, what I would just say to your listeners is IVF is such a common process now. If you're going to go through IVF, talk to your physician about it first. Make a good decision based on your family building plans on do you really need to try to inseminate or fertilize all the eggs? Because no one wants to be in a position where they have these embryos remaining out there that they are unable to use. And that will save a lot of heartache and a lot of grief. And our biggest goal is to put ourselves out of business by having every embryo that is in cryopreservation used.
That's worthy.
That's Dr. Jeffrey Keenan, President and Medical Director of the National Embryo Donation Center. Dr. Keenan, if people want to contact you, how do they find you?
We're at embryodonation.org.
Embryodonation.org. It's the National Embryo Donation Center.
Dr. Keenan, congratulations. This is a fabulous work that you're doing. We greatly appreciate your time here with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your work there. God bless.
Thank you as well. God bless you. National Embryo Donation Center, Dr. Jeffrey Keenan.
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
Whose rule book do you want to play by, the government's or your own? This is Jay Hagerman of Abernathy & Hagerman. Without a proper estate plan, many families end up playing by the government's rule book and losing a lot of what they'd intended to leave to their families. That's why Abernathy & Hagerman presents free, ongoing estate planning workshops with attorney Dan Reimer to help you protect what's yours and make sure the government plays by your rules. The next one's happening soon. For details and to attend, visit a-h.law.
Crossroads Ministries presents A Night to Celebrate the Season with acclaimed crossover vocalist and songwriter Charles Billingsley. City sidewalks. Enjoy a sweet night of great music and dessert. December 15th or 16th, it's Christmas time again with Charles Billingsley, former lead vocalist with Grammy-nominated new song at Crossroads Ministries in Finleyville. Tickets just $20. Get yours now at crsmin.com.
Did you know that there's one place you can go to hear God's words of hope spoken into your life anytime, anywhere? OnePlace.com. Listen to your favorite Christian programs, read daily devotionals, and get answers to your tough questions, all at OnePlace.com or on the OnePlace app in the Apple and Android app stores. Visit OnePlace.com today.
Get smarter every day at Ozzy.com. Try a new news site that tells you about the most interesting people, places, and ideas. Discover the next Obama or maybe the next LeBron James. Try OZY.com right now. Ozzy, it's like a latte for your mind. Get some.
The Christmas Mortgage Miracle is back and bigger than ever.
For 5 years, the Christmas Mortgage Miracle has made it possible for you to win next year's mortgage or rent.
This year, we've raised the grand prize to $18,000
to pay for next year's mortgage or rent. Increase your opportunity to win when you enter up to once per day and complete optional bonus tasks.
Trinity Jewelers presents the Christmas Mortgage Miracle Sweepstakes. Enter today at wordfm.com.
Ask Alexa to play the word Pittsburgh to hear us there. We're on your Google speaker, too. Plus iHeart, TuneIn, and on Odyssey. 101.5 WORDFM, Pittsburgh.
The government relies on churches for crisis response. What an open door for community impact. Your church can be a trained responder by taking the Ready Church Learning Track at ChristianEmergencyNetwork.org. ChristianEmergencyNetwork.org. Through the Ready Church Track, you will assess your church's strengths and learn how you can be most efficient in responding in times of crisis while strengthening your own congregation's preparedness. ChristianEmergencyNetwork.org.
Clouds breaking tonight. We'll see a nighttime low of 30. Breezy tomorrow with some sunshine giving way to clouds. Expect a high tomorrow of 47. Cloudy skies expected for tomorrow night with occasional rain. Expect a low tomorrow night of 35. Cloudy skies to start the weekend Saturday. We'll reach a high Saturday of 44. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
You hear stories like this from time to time, but it's always super sweet and encouraging. Hubert and June Malicote, both 100 years old, have been through nearly every stage of life together, and now death. Their romantic love story ended last week when the Centennials died just hours apart from each other. They went out together, said their son, Sam, who himself is 76 years old. June fell gravely ill after hosting a Thanksgiving pizza party for her family. Later that night, the great-grandmother was placed in hospice care to receive end-of-life care, and Hubert, her husband, just broke down. "He really fell apart," said Sam. Seeing June in such a state proved too much for Hubert, whose health deteriorated immediately thereafter, leading his family to admit him to hospice as well in the same room where his beloved lay. There, the couple remained unconscious but holding hands until Hubert passed away peacefully at 9:15 on November 30th. Their son claims that the father died of a broken heart, but just 20 hours later, his wife passed at 5:40 p.m. on December 1. "I feel sad, but I shouldn't," said Sam. "Who can expect to live a life like that? They lived a long, happy life together, and they were devoted to God and the family." Hubert and June met at church in 1941 in their home state of Kentucky. Hubert enlisted in the Navy, the next winter, and they continued to stay in touch with June as he fought abroad. "When I saw her," he said, "I said, she'll be a good one," Hubert told Cincinnati's WKRC in July in honor of their centennial birthdays. The young lovebirds were able to see each other when Hubert was sent home on leave for just 13 days at a time. During his second return home, the sailor proposed to his sweetheart, and the two tied the knot, not knowing if or when Hubert would return. Thankfully, he came home safely after World War II and eventually moved the family to Ohio, where the family set up shop. The couple went on to have three kids, Sam, Joe, and Teresa, who gave them 7 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. The happy couple shared their secrets to a long and loving relationship, claiming that they'd never had a serious fight, a shocking statement that was backed by their daughter, Joe. "We didn't go through life without problems, but we would never do anything to hurt each other," Hubert told the Today Show in June. "If there's controversy, you might have to walk away for a couple of minutes. Then you come back and change the subject, and then you work it out." After nearly 8 decades wed, Hubert wasn't able to imagine life without his June, which was proven with his passing. Said Hubert just months prior, "It's kind of like if we aren't together, then the team is broken, and so I don't want to go on." Fabulous.
Where's that article from?
That is from the Associated Press.
Wow. And they were married 79 years.
Yes, they were.
Wow.
Very nice.
Incredible.
Don't have a serious fight. Change the subject and come back together.
That's the best you can do.
Good advice.
Coming up next, the 10 mistakes you could make at an office holiday party, but if you made them, you're most likely to be fired.
101.5 WORD.
Coming up this week from Chuck Swindoll.
The flock is to be shepherded. It is not to be driven. You don't drive sheep. You drive cattle. To get a racehorse to do his best, you strike him with a switch. But you don't strike a sheep. You shepherd sheep.
Discover refreshing lessons like this one and more right here on Insight for Living.
Tomorrow morning at 8 on 101.5 WORD.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Turkey and stuffing, real mashed potatoes, sliced top round, Aunt Emma's broccoli casserole, chicken and gravy over buttermilk biscuits. Am I making you hungry yet? Hi, it's me, Marcia, from the Spring House. You have a special event coming up in your life, a shower, a wedding, graduation party, company party, anniversary event, or any occasion where you'd love to serve all-natural, farm-fresh foods, then it's time to give the Spring House Catering Department a call at 724-228-3339. From your first conversation with Dawn, who will help you create a menu that's unique to you, to the beautiful, bounteous setup and display that my sister Jill and her crew create, you will be delighted. After every catering event, Jill tells our cooks, "I wish I could take you with me so you could hear all the wonderful comments guests give us." Give us a call at 724-228-3339 or check out our extensive menu at springhousemarket.com for farm fresh catering from the Springhouse.
Meet Brad. Brad's hard at work, or at least his website is. Ever since he added live chat with Salem Surround, Brad's customers are getting their questions answered 24/7. Website purchases have gone up 35%, and they're over three times more likely to buy from him again. No bots, just real people helping real people. Live chat, one of the easiest, most affordable ways Salem Surround can increase your business while you do other things, or nothing at all. Ask us how at surroundpittsburgh.com.
We're having the Word FM Christmas party next Tuesday.
When is it Tuesday?
I think it's Tuesday.
I thought it was Wednesday.
I'll show up Tuesday.
It's definitely Wednesday.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. So we do this every year. We do sort of like a, what do they call it?
White elephant.
A white elephant gift, mm-hmm. $15. I mean, you can't go wrong with $15. Mm-hmm. This year, though, we were compelled also to bring a baby photo. Which...
Well, no, we can't. I don't think we're supposed to bring it. I think we have to send it ahead of time.
Oh, really?
I think so.
All right. I'm not quite sure.
That's
just like, you know.
Something nefarious is going to happen.
Yes, exactly. What's a baby photo doing at a Christmas party?
Okay? I don't know.
So are you a fan of the Christmas party?
Sure, of course.
Yeah. It's going to be catered by the Spring House.
Which, I mean, of course, why wouldn't I be? Plus, we'll all be there together.
Yeah.
And we'll be having a good time.
Show up, please.
Okay. I will, I promise. Right, okay. Thinking of the Christmas party that's waiting for us,
yeah.
And a lot of you have Christmas parties that are going to be waiting for you at work.
And the pandemic's changed Christmas parties.
Yes. And, you know, some people before COVID who were in administrative or managerial positions had decided we're cutting it anyway because of cost. Then COVID forced the issue. Mm. Now people are saying, well, we kind of missed each other. We're definitely going back to the party. Or some people are saying we never missed it, so we're never doing it again.
Right. It is an expense.
Uh-huh.
Right?
In both of my workplaces, we are back to party.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In both
After
of
being
them.
Away for a couple
yes,
of years.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Which is why I was interested to read the article posted on CNBC today about office parties. Now, listen to this. 14% of survey respondents say their jobs were terminated shortly after an office party.
What happened in that
14%.
Party? Did something go amiss?
I think a lot of things went amiss.
Or was that in the? Maybe that was in the works.
Can I meet with you next Thursday, please?
Oh boy!
Now, losing an average salary of $60,597 because of the office party. So, CNBC has compiled, according to their survey results carried out by Price for Limo, That's the name of the company.
Price for Limo.
Price for Limo. Okay. That there are top 10 behaviors that can get you fired.
All right.
Okay.
So have you witnessed any of these?
So I certainly have.
In past Christmas parties. Yeah, not here.
Not here. I don't think I've ever seen any of these things happen here. Not one of them here. But I have seen most of them happen at another at another workplace. Okay. So let me just clarify this again, that for the 14% of people who lost their job after an office party, they did one of these top 10 behaviors. Mm-hmm. Number one, dancing with a coworker.
Well, I mean, I guess it all depends on what kind of Christmas party it is. I mean, some of these, you know, massive corporations, they rent out hotel ballrooms.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
sure.
why would you lose your job for dancing with a coworker? Well, I guess, you know, you're like the people on Good Morning America.
Exactly. Right? Or maybe the coworker didn't want to dance with you.
Oh, right.
Right. But, you know.
Or the coworker's the boss.
Or they couldn't take no for an answer. Or the coworker's the boss. Right, exactly. Right. Number two.
Yeah.
Flashing someone.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I'm reading it from CNBC. That's a thing. It says.
Yeah. Now, that's just aberrant.
Okay.
Perverse behavior. You should be jailed.
Yes. These are actual things that got people fired.
Okay.
Kissing a client.
Oh, boy. Uh-huh. Your passion is kindled all year long. And then at the party, it explodes.
What could possibly entice you to do that? Right. Okay. Number four, making inappropriate jokes. Mm-hmm. Now, that was like the day in a previous place I worked. The night before the Christmas party, I would be trying to do like a little handicapping for my husband of what I anticipated would happen because there were so many inappropriate. In fact, it was harder to find the appropriate joke at the Christmas party.
I mean, what happened?
The inappropriate joke.
Was there copious amounts of alcohol at these parties?
There was alcohol.
Yeah, see, that's a problem, right? Because people have a drink or two, then their tongue loosens up.
I had some 11 a.m. parties that also had a lot of inappropriate jokes.
Oh, really?
Didn't have alcohol, but did have inappropriate jokes.
But people feel like, all happy and loose. Mm-hmm.
Kissing a coworker. So I've already mentioned dancing with a coworker and kissing a client. Now we're mixing the two, and now we're kissing coworkers.
That's bad news.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is so terrible. Flirting with your boss.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Mm. Not good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Next. Flirting with a client.
Just be sensible. Please, people, don't be an idiot.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Dancing with a client.
Uh-huh. That'll get you fired.
Okay. Now, can you imagine doing that, which is why these people... And the last one is tripping on LSD or other hallucinogens.
Who does that?
What? That's wrong? What? What's wrong with that?
This is the 14% of survey respondents that said they did one of those things and lost their job.
The Timothy Leary Christmas party. Mm-hmm. What the heck?
According to the final results, though, the least acceptable behaviors at an office party, that these are the very two top things, breaking company property and kissing your boss.
Breaking company
property. No chance of that.
All right. Okay, while you're talking about this, just heard from a friend of ours, party today for our team, went to Mad Max and got drinks.
Okay.
All right.
But was there any of these, was there LSD or flirting with a client or anything?
No comment on that,
No comment.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's Mad Max, so you're kind of crowded into a booth, right?
Now, I'm happy to also say that 85% of respondents said that they felt it was inappropriate to be drunk at a work function. So that...
85%? Okay, well, there's some wisdom there for some people, right?
That's
Thank
a good
goodness.
Sign.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were a bartender for a long time when you were a struggling artist in New York City.
Yeah.
So you must have seen ton of holiday parties.
I did. I attended.
And I bet you saw a lot of these
behaviors. I did. I attended many and witnessed that, mostly from Wall Street types. I mean, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, that's not that much of a stretch. I mean, have you ever seen that film, the debauchery that goes on in that movie? I mean, people just blow it out. But it's a weird thing. Why would you... You put your job, your family, all that.
I know.
You just blow things up because you want to be an idiot.
Alcohol.
I think alcohol is a lot of it.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting how in some workplaces, people socialize a lot with the people they work with?
Yeah. Especially if you're in sales, right?
I mean, probably.
Yeah. That's kind of the thing. Yeah, but there are. I worked my first job back here in the city. I worked for a place. There was a lot of after-hours socializing going on in downtown. We'd go to Oxford. What's that?
Were they young?
Yeah, they were
young staff.
It was a young staff, right? You know, 20s and 30-somethings.
Do you think that's healthy?
I enjoyed it because, you know, sort of like you get to know people in a different way.
Right, but that's a little dangerous, right?
Well, I guess it could be dangerous considering what you're saying.
I mean, I don't know. When I think about it, I know that I have a lot of family members who are teachers. There's a ton of socializing that goes on with people with people at work, and a lot of things come out.
Well, you've blown off steam
at those functions,
right,
that I'm sure people wish they wouldn't have said or wouldn't have done. I'm not even limiting it to holiday parties. I'm just saying normal stuff
after the fact.
So, if people had a church community or another developed group of friends, then maybe they wouldn't rely on their workplace for their social life.
Well, some people
feel...
maybe
that would be healthier. It's just I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
But don't you feel as though the pressure is, hey, we're all going out for a drink, and so if you're not part of that, then you're missing out.
Yeah.
You're out of the hub.
I felt
that
way.
Could affect you in some way.
I felt that way in some of the jobs I had.
Yeah, right. You want to be part of the group because I need to show up because I'll be left behind.
Right.
And I don't want to be left behind.
Right.
Gare, now I'm sure you've been to, any sort of big-time radio Christmas parties. There had to be a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, there probably was.
Now, okay, so you don't strike me as a partier, but did you go to these Christmas parties because you felt the need to?
I had to.
Yeah, see, that's it, right? You had to.
Mm-hmm. And what about socializing with people you worked with?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Okay. When the shift's over, you want to go
home? Never done it. One person, a couple, my wife and I socialized with for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Yeah.
Until the LSD
hallucinogen her boss,
took over?
But her and her husband and I were, and my wife were friends, became friends. So, yeah, that was the only one I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's fraught.
I'm certainly not friends with you two.
No, because that'd be crazy.
Yeah. No.
But you know enough about us, it's not even interesting.
Yeah. I don't want to be with you anymore than I am.
Again, please, what the heck?
Good grief.
All right. Okay, the bottom line is,
be careful at your holiday party, please.
Just don't be a fool.
Be respectful, avoid the hallucinogens, and never kiss a client or your boss.
No. Or trip or break anything in the office. I mean, any of that stuff. Heaven help us.
MyPillow's excited to announce the original My Slippers are back in stock. Hey, it's John Hall. Last Christmas, you made My Slippers the number one selling MyPillow product, and now they've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new colors. What makes My Slippers different is the exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My Slippers' patented layers make them ultra-comfortable, extremely durable, and they help relieve the stress on your feet. Wear them anytime, anywhere, and save $90 off with promo code WORD. That's only $49.98 a pair. You'll absolutely love My Slippers, and now they're also extending their 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2023, making them the best Christmas gift ever. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code WORD, or call 800-391-0954 now. Again, use promo code WORD to save $90 on the original My Slippers. That's only $49.98 a pair. Quantities won't last long, so please order now.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members, they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing, if you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right, no fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before December 31st. Great savings, great healthcare. Find out more, call now. 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
That hailstorm really did some damage to the house, honey.
I know, and so close to Christmas. What are we going to do?
Well, our neighbor Eric said Bachman's Roofing helped him with his insurance claim and walked him through each step of the process.
Maybe we should call them, too. Eric's wife did say Bachman's are local storm experts. Can we ask them about saving with solar roofing?
I think that's a great idea.
Call Bachman's Roofing and Solar at 412-744-8390 or go to pittsburgh.bachmansroofing.com.
The Christmas Mortgage Miracle is back and bigger than ever.
For 5 years, the Christmas Mortgage Miracle has made it possible for you to win next year's mortgage or rent.
This year, we've raised the grand prize to $18,000.
To pay for next year's mortgage or rent, increase your opportunity to win when you enter up to once per day and complete optional bonus tasks.
Trinity Jewelers presents the Christmas Mortgage Miracle Sweepstakes. Enter today at wordfm.com.
Have you ever known identical twins?
My mom was a fraternal twin.
Mm-hmm. But identical twins.
I went to high school with a pair.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, that's the closest I've come.
These guys were identical twins.
Oh, and of course I work with some identical twins. I mean, with one of an identical twin pair, yes.
I see. Well, here's a story about identical twins, which I think is fascinating. Kayla and Kelly Bingham. They're used to being in sync. They're identical twins. They figured that explained why they both have the same mannerisms, both played midfield in soccer, made the same decisions to pursue careers as doctors at the Medical University of South Carolina. Their similarities, however, never landed them in trouble until they were called into a university administrator's office in May of 2016, about a week after the end-of-year exams. Kayla and Kelly had turned in test papers with what the proctors had deemed unusual similarities. Of the 296 of 307 questions, they had put down the exact same answer.
No way.
On 54 of those, they put down the same wrong answer. In the words of the administrators, it does not look good for you.
Oh, so somebody cheated.
She told us that we were being accused of academic dishonesty, Kayla told the Washington Post. We were floored. The Binghams were investigated by the University Honor Council, which ruled that they had collaborated on their exams. They appealed and had that decision overturned. Then the twins took the university to court. Their argument each time? They should have known that identical twins often perform similarly on tests. A psychology professor testified that Kayla and Kelly's similar scores could be explained by their genetic profiles. In November, a jury sided with the twins, awarding them a total of $1.5 million in damages. Kayla said the university defamed her and her sister and that the accusations derailed their dreams of becoming doctors. She said, I just broke down. It was the worst moment of my life. Attorneys for the university declined to comment to the Post, citing post-trial motions. Nancy Siegel, the professor who testified in the Binghams case, said many people don't realize how similar identical twins behave. Quote, we're all brought up to believe, and rightly so, in individual differences in behavior and appearance. But when people encounter two people who look so much alike and act so much alike, it intrigues them. It's against the way that they believe the world works. So, the twins have ended their medical studies, and now they are in law school, bolstered by the fact that they've won $1.5 million.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that moniker of cheater is
a scourge.
Can be everything.
Of course. It could crush you, especially,
really,
right? If you are not a cheater and that comes upon you, you could see how that would mess with you academically, especially
right.
The two of you together in the same boat, right? Yeah.
So when you think about the identical twins that you went to high school with.
Yeah.
Does anything come to mind or any?
They were, I mean, listen, I went to school with these guys for 7 years. You had to look at them very, very closely before you said their name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was very, very, very slight differences. They walked the same, talked the same, everything.
Isn't that wacky?
There was just a...
So with the two young women I know, I need them both to be there
mm-hmm.
before I can decide who's who.
Right.
If I see just one of them, I don't have a hope, really, of being able to decide on it.
I love it so much. I mean, look,
it's a fascinating thing.
We just had that interview at the top of the show there about the embryos, the frozen embryos mm-hmm. for 30 years. How can frozen embryos, 30 years, and there are twins. Now, they didn't say, I think these
they're
twins.
They're fraternal because it's a boy
fraternal.
And a girl.
Okay. But it's, I mean, how valuable would that be in your life?
To have a twin?
Yes.
Yeah.
to know someone who knows you.
Even a fraternal twin.
Yeah. I mean, what I think it's such a great advantage.
Yeah, I do too.
You're always with someone who is, and I wonder about the idea of, you know, communicating, you know, I'm thinking your thoughts. You would think that that wouldn't be that far away, right? I know what you're thinking because I'm thinking the same thing.
Do you remember that story we covered about, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago about the identical twin women who married the identical twin men?
Yes, yeah. The twins convention where they met.
Yes, they met at a twins convention. Yeah. They got married. So two sets of identical twins married.
And they had babies like a day apart?
No, it was about 8 or 9 months apart, okay. I think. So but they each had boys. And the boys are, I forget what they call them, but they're obviously cousins.
Yeah.
But they're actually genetically siblings.
Right.
Is that creepy?
Of course, that's
now,
wild.
Wait. I just saw an update about them.
Really?
A couple days ago. They live in the same house together.
Yeah.
Okay, all the families.
Right.
And
which would make sense.
They've now started their own wedding business. So they're running this wedding business out of their big house. Both of the moms are attorneys.
Mm.
They work together. And then they're like co-raising the boys. Is that creepy?
No,
it's
not creepy at all. No, I think it's really cool. That's fabulous. What a great support network.
It is slightly creepy, though.
I don't think so.
You don't think it is creepy?
No.
Mm-mm. At their wedding,
I love it.
They have a photograph. They only invited other identical twins.
That was weird.
That
I don't think it's creepy, but it's just it's weird.
Was,
you know,
that was something else.
It's what an exclusive club.
There's like 25 sets of identical twins at their wedding.
That's wild. It's built in forever. I mean, it's cemented in that family. That's super cool.
We are everywhere. On your radio at 101.5 WORD-FM Pittsburgh, at wordfm.com, the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and Odyssey.com/Eric.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. American basketball star Brittany Griner freed from Russia in a high-level prisoner exchange.
President Biden announced that Griner was released after being detained since February.
This is a day we've worked toward for a long time. We never stopped pushing for her release.
Griner was freed after the U.S. released notorious Russian arms dealer Victor Boot. However, American Paul Whelan remains jailed after nearly 4 years in Russia.
Sadly, for totally illegitimate reasons, Russia is treating Paul's case differently than Brittany's.
He said the U.S. has not forgotten about Whelan and will never give up in seeking his release. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Slightly more Americans filing for jobless claims last week. Unemployment benefits rose to 230,000 for the week ending December 3rd. That is up 4,000 from the previous week's 226,000. This is SRN News.
This holiday season, why not give the gift of a good night's sleep? This is Greg Trzynski, and at the Original Mattress Factory, our factory direct business model allows us to provide a better quality product at a better price than mainstream mattress retailers. We hand build our products in our own local factories and sell them directly to you in our own stores. Not only does this save you money, it also means we can offer local delivery or arrange in-store pickup on most items by the holidays. Visit an OMF location today for a better night's sleep this Christmas.
When you need your dollar to go further, you need the Original Mattress Factory. We hand-build our mattresses and box springs in our factories and sell them factory direct in our own stores. We cut out the middleman and pass the savings on to you. You get a better quality mattress at a better price compared to mainstream brands. When your wallet is feeling the squeeze everywhere from the gas pump to the grocery store, real value is more important than ever. Visit an Original Mattress Factory location today to see our factory direct difference for yourself.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary. Oil keeps going up as the Russia conflict escalates. Get in on the next major oil boom now and help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. That's the sound of a producing oil well and the sound of a smart investment. If you're a serious and qualified SEC-accredited investor, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects. The U.S. government needs your investment in oil and is allowing you to write off nearly 100% of your investment in the first year. Goldman Sachs is projecting oil to go up to $100 a barrel. Call 800-287-6691. Encore Energy is a very active oil and gas operator in its core area of operations. Call now and learn
learn how to deduct 100% of your investment and create 20 or more years of potential monthly income. Get this big tax deduction for 2022. Hurry before it's too late. Call 800-287-6691. That's 800-287-6691.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
Clouds breaking tonight. We'll see a nighttime low of 30. Breezy tomorrow with some sunshine giving way to clouds. Expect a high tomorrow of 47. Cloudy skies expected for tomorrow night with occasional rain. Expect a low tomorrow night of 35. Cloudy skies to start the weekend Saturday. We'll reach a high Saturday of 44. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along today, the 5 o'clock hour.
It's dark.
Yeah, it's gotten darker earlier.
Well, the winter equinox is coming.
Here it
it's
is.
On the 21st.
Mm-hmm. I have my Christmas lights.
It is the 21st,
lights.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I have my Christmas lights on a timer that they turn on at dusk. And then you can set it for like however many hours you want to shut it off. So increasingly, they've been going off sooner and sooner, which means they've been going on sooner and sooner.
Right.
Right. So I had I adjusted it an hour more today.
You know, I went for the LED lights on my Christmas tree.
Oh, how's that look?
Well, I was I was philosophically opposed to it because I can't stand LEDs.
Super bright.
I can't stand them. But I have seen LED bulbs lately and fixtures that are much, much better than they were even 2 years ago. So I thought for the energy savings, you know, the whole thing, I should. So I did it. And it's not bad. It really, it's way better than it would have been. I mean, if I had my druthers, I would go incandescent.
Yeah.
But these really do last a lot longer. And stringing the lights on the tree is a real pain in the neck.
Mm-hmm. You do you.
Thanks.
You do you.
Thank
and
you.
Your LED lights.
Yeah.
I'm still got old school. You know that. I've got old fashioned big thick C9 bulbs.
Right.
They look nice.
Can you even buy those bulbs?
Oh
anymore?
Yeah,
can
sure.
You?
Everywhere. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I made a point of getting replacements. Yeah, you can buy.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of places still sell them, but LEDs are all over the shelf in Christmas stores. Drag queen story hour.
Sure.
That's become a gigantic thing across this country. And I did not know this. I read an article from the Buffalo News, which I don't actually often read. But they're talking about, did you hear the story about the electric transformer in North Carolina that was shot up and a whole town was put into darkness?
Yes. Oh, sure. Yes.
Well, this is in Southern Pines, North Carolina. That happened the exact same night, the exact same hour that a drag queen story hour was underway. Now, they're saying, we don't know if there's a correlation because we don't know who did this. Of course, the FBI is involved in this. But they're saying it's not so much of a coincidence that this power went out across the entire city when this got underway. Because apparently what's happening now, as there's this proliferation of drag queen story hours, which... Heaven help us.
It's a whole different thing.
Heaven help us. That now, as these are it's become ubiquitous across the country, you're met with two huge groups in opposition. where there's, you know, families or, you know, people with their kids going into libraries and LGBTQ supporters. And then on the right, there are people who are armed or not and protesting in huge droves. And there is such a gigantic tension that has surrounded communities, towns, big and small, cities, large and small, that the police are worried about such an encounter happening between two disparate groups.
So the far left and the far right are both showing up at Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's an apt metaphor for what's going on in American culture, because the family that's just trying to take their kids to the library is caught in the middle.
Right. So I did not know this. So in this article that I'm reading in Buffalo News, they say this. The idea of having a drag performer read to children in libraries and schools was developed in 2015 by a queer parent of a young child who wanted to make a place for kids that would be inclusive, said Jonathan Hamlet, the executive director of Drag Story Hour, which organizes readings. Quickly, the idea grew and spread across the country. Quote, I remember very clearly as a kid not having that representation, not having that visibility, and not feeling okay with who I was, said Clua Lemon, a drag performer in New York who has read to children at dozens of events and asked to be referred to by her stage name. This is an opportunity to teach kids about acceptance while promoting literacy.
Now, yeah, like literacy has anything
it has
to
nothing
do with
it. No, it doesn't.
Right.
The events
right.
resemble most any story time. Children gather around to hear
with
a story.
Something big, one big difference.
But with a reader dressed in a highly stylized and gender-fluid manner, reading from books that are sometimes about accepting oneself or others, exploring a range of family structures. Silly as the bait here, quote, as silly as this debate is, it's also a morally serious issue in its own way, said Andrew Walker of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. For a lot of believers, they see a culture with no moral mm-hmm. limits.
Right.
And I do believe that this is what you see.
Sure.
I think
that's what the far left is going for.
Right.
Is a culture of no moral limits.
Parents arrive with their kids at drag events are often the targets of protesters. I don't know. It's a mess. And you would imagine, you would see when parents show up with their kids, I get what they're trying to do. I just don't understand how they're trying to do it. Is anything solved by placing your kid in front of a drag queen
no.
and having them read a story about nonconformity or
no.
gender fluidity?
No.
It just seems... Whatever you want to say. Some people call it grooming, right? I don't know what it is, but it seems, at least for me, morally unacceptable.
I think that they're kidding themselves when they say that the story hour is inclusive if it includes a person of gender fluidity. I mean, it's not inclusive. Are there 18-year-olds that come to story hour?
No, it's little kids.
Okay, so
meanwhile,
okay.
That Kirk Cameron actor wrote a book with a Christian theme, and I think they turned him down for
right.
story time.
Yeah, of course.
So right. that's where we are.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, inclusivity is laughable to
subjective.
Me.
Subjective.
Very. So, I mean, you're not in. Are you inviting a farmer to story time? Are you inviting somebody from Wall Street to story time? Are you inviting a felon? Are you inviting grandpa?
Yeah.
No, none of those people are invited. And it's not because the group hates grandpas or hates farmers or hates 18-year-olds. It's that that's not what story time's for.
Okay, so then what would you say if someone said, well, look, yeah, this is what we're doing. You don't have to agree with it, but don't show up in protest because I want my kid to sit in front of a drag queen and read a story.
I wouldn't show up in protest.
But, you know, so the beginning of this story in the Buffalo News is there is a heightened tension
sure.
now between left and right.
Because they're both so violently motivated right now. Both sides.
And the fear is that something really bad's going to happen at one of these events.
Here's and by me saying I wouldn't show up and protest, I'm not saying people shouldn't have the right to,
sure.
because that right's guaranteed to us. So if people want to show up and protest, they can.
Yeah. Anyway, it's part of the national conversation.
But I understand being in law enforcement and being worried about
it. Yeah, you would be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very dangerous situation. I just don't get it, but that's not our world that I'm living in right now. So pray for peace and cool heads about this country and what's taking place.
Just go to the library just for the books, not to make a social statement. How about that?
All right, take a break, come back, stick around. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy, Pittsburgh's Christian Talk, 101.5 Word FM.
101.5 WORD.
Dr. Charles Stanley.
Whatever the Apostle Paul had discovered about Jesus only stirred him, built a passion in his heart to know him better. Let me ask you a question. How did you and I get so satisfied knowing so little of Christ?
Hear the series, A Passion for God, this week on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley.
Tomorrow morning at 8:30 on 101.5 WORD.
I remember getting dumped in fourth grade. On Tuesday, I was heartbroken. By Thursday, I had met a much nicer friend. In high school, I remember Mom not letting me go on a dude's trip over Christmas. I was crushed. So they all got food poisoning on day one and spent the whole trip not Christmasing. It's Ryan. And the weird point I'm trying to make is, sometimes a positive can come from a negative. Currently, mortgage interest rates are up a bit, but one good thing is coming from it. Home prices are a little less crazy and not flying off the market quite as fast. We're seeing a lot of listeners who are taking advantage and finally buying the home they've wanted. Yes, rates may be higher at first, but their strategy is to find a dream home today while they can and refinance tomorrow when things finally settle. They've already dropped in ounces of late. If that's you, we've got a direct lender advantage that can often save you money and a $1,000 lender credit at closing. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities. Mortgage lender license 22672.
Revival Today Church presents Celebrate the King, a free Christmas event for you and your family. With musical guests Uche Agu, Ron Canoli, Karen Sheard, and Jekyllyn Carr, featuring the Revival Today Mass Choir. Along with a word from Pastor Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Saturday, December 17th at the Montour Junction Sports Complex. Doors open at 6. Sign up today at rtcregister.com.
If you've ever read anything by the Puritans or other fathers of the faith, you know that their reverence for God was deep and profound. You can incorporate their prayers into your own worship time using the devotional Be Thou My Vision. This is a beautiful hardcover book that presents prayers, catechisms, and creeds from throughout the centuries in an easy-to-read daily format. Request a copy from Truth For Life at truthforlife.org/donate.
I'm thankful for the time I get to spend with my family during Christmas.
Christmas is a time for gratitude at Eden Christian Academy.
I'm thankful for the opportunity that I get to spend time with those I love.
My favorite thing about the holiday season is seeing the look on my family's face when I give them a really good gift.
During the Christmas season, I'm thankful that I can see all of my family members in one place.
I'm thankful for the friends and relationships that I've made here at Eden.
Merry Christmas from your friends at Eden Christian Academy.
Dawn Eden Goldstein is back on our program. She's the author of several books, including My Peace I Give You and The Thrill of the Chaste. But we're excited about her newest book, which is called Father Ed, The Story of Bill W.'s Spiritual Sponsor. Dawn Eden, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be back on the show.
Our pleasure. So, Dawn, 1935, the story begins with two desperate alcoholics who do not, for any number of reasons, do not want to have another drink in their lives. They get together in Akron, Ohio, and thus is the beginning of the worldwide church, I would say, phenomenon of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's when it began, when Bill W., who had just gotten sober a few months earlier in New York after having had a spiritual experience, he met Dr. Bob while he was on a business trip in Akron. During Bill's months of sobriety, he had found that the only way he could stay sober was by trying as best he could to sober up other alcoholics. So when he was in Akron and was really feeling down because a business deal that he was trying to sort out there fell through very badly. He looked at the church directory on the wall of the local hotel, the Mayflower Hotel, and just started calling every pastor asking, you know, do you know an alcoholic that I can talk to? And through that, he was connected with Dr. Bob, who was a member of a Christian group called the Oxford Group. And members of that group had actually been praying for him that something would happen to get him to stop drinking. So they felt very strongly that Bill's meeting him was the answer to prayers. And then the two of them together, Bill W. and Dr. Bob, just these two alcoholics talking to each other, founded this fellowship that has helped countless millions of people over the past more than 80 years.
Fabulous. And amen to that. And so, Don, as you said, the meeting of these two men's, AA is specifically not a Christian organization, right? The God as we understood him. But in essence, though, it is certainly founded on Christianity.
Absolutely. You know, it's undeniable for anyone who studies AA's history. On the one hand, it is true that from the very early days, there were members such as Hank Parkhurst, who, when Bill was writing the big book, which is the, you know, we would call it the Bible of AA. It's the main guide that has AA's 12 steps in it. When Bill W. was writing the big book, Hank Parkhurst, who was I forget if he was an atheist or an agnostic. He certainly wasn't religious, and he kept, you know, pushing Bill to tone down the God stuff. And in retrospect, that's important because everyone needs sobriety. And yet, as Bill himself admitted, and he admitted it happily, you know, AA has been the gateway to really a God-centered and even Christ-centered spirituality for many people.
Fabulous. So as in all meetings, as in all organizations, there is a fluidity to that. There is an early founding and things start to take shape. So in 1940, as you write in your book, Father Ed, the story of Bill W.'s spiritual sponsor, a Catholic priest by the name of Father Edward Dowling, he seeks out Bill W., one of the founders of AA, and he goes to a place where Bill W. is staying and knocks on the door. And the man who owns the house walks up to Bill W.'s room, and pardon my French, he says, some damn bum is downstairs, and he wants to see you. So
that's right.
The bum comes upstairs, and there's this meeting between a Catholic priest and Bill W., and from both sides of the perspective, something in many ways miraculous takes place in that meeting,
yes.
Don. Tell us that story.
Absolutely. Both Bill W. and Father Ed felt that their meeting was a true moment of grace, a gift from the Holy Spirit. Father Ed looked like a bum to the caretaker of the house because Father Ed suffered from terrible arthritis. So even though he was only 41, to Bill W., who was older than him, Father Ed looked like an old man because he was hunched over and he had just gotten off the train, and he once he got up, you know, in the morning, he had trouble grooming himself after he, you know, left his wherever he was sleeping because he was so stiff from his arthritis. So he looked like a bum, and when he trudged up the steps to see Bill, and he had this cane that was making a loud noise on the steps, Bill thought, oh no, not another drunk. But then when Father Ed met Bill, and Bill was quite depressed because AA hadn't yet taken off, and Bill was frustrated at that. He thought he was going to sober up all the drunks in the world, and it just wasn't happening, and not as much as he wanted anyway. So Father Ed, you know, sat down in Bill's room and said to him, I've really been taken with the similarities between these 12 steps that you wrote and the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And Bill W. said, never heard of him. And Father Ed laughed, and that broke the ice. And before Bill knew it, he was admitting his frustrations to Father Ed, and Father Ed was helping guide him to see his frustrations not as things that were necessarily evil, but that were, you know, sufferings that were meant to point him towards a higher road, towards growing in grace. Hmm. So when Bill was talking about how he had thought AA would be so much bigger by now, and it wasn't, and he just longed for it to grow, Father Ed said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." He quoted the Beatitudes to him. And then Bill W. said to him, "Well, won't there be any satisfaction?" And Father Ed said, "No, never." Meaning that there is not satisfaction in this life. And that what we find is that we have to go where God's grace is leading us in the vocation that will be our share in the work of God. And for Bill, he, whatever satisfaction he would find in this life would be through carrying out his mission of bringing the presence of God through really the hope for sobriety to suffering alcoholics. And that, you know, really in a certain way, Bill's heaven on earth would be found in each alcoholic that he would meet and that he would work to bring to sobriety. That was what I think Bill realized. Through his encounter with Father Ed. And that was really Father Ed's gift. That was why Bill W. came to call Father Ed his spiritual sponsor. They remained close friends for 20 years, and Father Ed really helped Bill develop the spirituality that underlies now the practice of the 12 steps.
Now, what's fascinating, I should say, we're speaking with Don Goldstein about a new work called Father Ed, the story of Bill W.'s spiritual sponsor. What's fascinating is that Father Dowling was not an alcoholic.
Yes.
He never had a problem with drink. His life was elsewhere. But those 20 years from 1940 to 1960, when Father Ed passed away, he essentially made AA and to be the spiritual sponsor of Bill W., his life's work.
You know, it really is fascinating. And when I think of that, I think of, you know, the mystery of the incarnation that we are preparing to celebrate now at Christmas. You know, here's God who could have simply remained in heaven, and yet he chose to become, you know, incarnate on earth in the lowest, smelliest, poorest place in this stable. So that he might lead us upwards towards heaven. And, you know, Father Ed, to me, his whole journey was in imitation of Christ, where Father Ed, who was not an alcoholic, really became like one. When he would speak to alcoholics, he would say, "We this and we that." He would never be on a high horse saying, you know, "I am the great holy priest who is deigning to descend to you and tell you how you should stay sober."
Right.
It was never that.
Fabulous.
He always spoke to them as one of them.
Fabulous. Now, Don, as I'm reading, and of course, I have to bring this up because here you are speaking on a Pittsburgh radio station, and you talk about Father Ed, that he came to Pittsburgh and he spoke in 1941, but he himself was on a Pittsburgh radio station where he gave an on-air address on democracy. And
yes.
He used the opportunity, you write, to speak about how religious people could, quote, sanctify their citizenship.
Yes, that was so important to Father Ed. He believed that we should not check our faith at the ballot box. He believes that when we live in a democracy, it is our religious duty to be involved in our local, state, national government. He believed it was a sin not to vote. And he believed that, you know, if we felt like we didn't have, you know, the right, you know, candidates, that we had to do whatever we could to really learn about the issues ourselves and even, you know, run for office ourselves. He actually mentored in the 1930s. He mentored a woman, Patricia Prendergast, who was a secretary in the office, the publishing house where Father Ed worked. He mentored her so that she ran for the city council in St. Louis, so that she could promote things that were good and important that other candidates weren't promoting.
Your faith in action. So, Dawn, of course, here we are. We're live on the air, and time is very short. So as you exit, talk to us about Father Ed. I mean, what I love about him so much is that, you know, he humbled himself, as you say. He engaged with alcoholics around the world. He, in many ways, helped to shape and prune the message, the spiritual depth of what Alcoholics Anonymous is today. So as you exit, what's the important thing that we should know about Father Ed?
I think the important thing that you should know about Father Ed is that Father Ed lived the advice that he gave to alcoholics when he said that humiliations are the shortest cut to humility. So when we feel ourselves being, you know, humbled by our own mistakes, that experience that can cause us shame is actually a gift, because it shows us that we are human, and it helps us learn to be humble like the humble Christ who came to us in a stable.
Fabulous. Well, listen, it's a wonderful work. I'm greatly enjoying it, and I appreciate your scholarship and the art of your storytelling as well. So thank you for being with us and the work to get out about Father Ed.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
As you as well. Father Ed, the story of Bill W.'s spiritual sponsor. We've been talking with Dawn Eden Goldstein about her new work. Take a quick break. Come back. It's our daily feature. Does this make sense? That's next on The Ride Home. Do you remember your college years? A lot of great things can happen. And if you were so inclined, a lot of not so great things can happen. Well, at Grove City College, they know this, that you were made with a purpose, because your college years are pivotal. And the time to discover and cultivate your God-given calling, it's there. And you know, and so do we, that God made you in his image with a purpose for your life. And at Grove City College, you'll find an unwavering commitment to your freedom of conscience, empowering you to know the truth of who God is and his purpose for your life.
I got to be honest, college was a hard time for me. I mean, it was really challenging academically. It was also really challenging socially. And so to kind of have a solid perspective that's given to you by the faculty that there's a purpose for this, that God has a purpose, not just for what you're learning in the classroom, but with your roommate or with your boy or girlfriend or whoever, what you're going through, the changes with your siblings or your parents, that there's a purpose for that.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like that could change everything for someone who's of a college age.
Without a doubt. In your academics, your social life, in all things, you were made with a purpose. If you're looking, your child looking for the next 4 years, we suggest you look at Grove City College online at gcc.edu. The power of purpose, Grove City College.
That hailstorm really did some damage to the house, honey.
I know, and so close to Christmas. What are we going to do?
Well, you know, our neighbor Eric said Bachman's Roofing helped him with his insurance claim and walked him through each step of the process.
Maybe we should call them, too. Eric's wife did say Bachman's are local storm experts. Can we ask them about saving with solar roofing?
I think that's a great idea.
Call Bachman's Roofing and Solar at 412-744-8390 or go to pittsburgh.bachmansroofing.com.
If you've ever read anything by the Puritans or other fathers of the faith, you know that their reverence for God was deep and profound. You can incorporate their prayers into your own worship time using the devotional Be Thou My Vision. This is a beautiful hardcover book that presents prayers, catechisms, and creeds from throughout the centuries in an easy-to-read daily format. Request a copy from Truth For Life at truthforlife.org/donate.
101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh. On your smart speaker by saying, play the word, Pittsburgh. And on your phone via the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and Odyssey.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or... Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presence, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Clouds breaking tonight. We'll see a nighttime low of 30. Breezy tomorrow with some sunshine giving way to clouds. Expect a high tomorrow of 47. Cloudy skies expected for tomorrow night with occasional rain. Expect a low tomorrow night of 35. Cloudy skies to start the weekend Saturday. We'll reach a high Saturday of 44. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
Does this make sense?
Does what make sense?
A rice maker.
Oh. I guess it all depends how much you like rice.
Rice machine, rice pot, rice, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it makes sense. They have different names. It does. It makes sense.
Do you have one?
I don't have one. One of my kids has one because really? He loves rice.
Yeah.
It always makes really perfect rice.
Do you have rice in your house now? Do you eat it with your wife? Without?
No, not when my kid's not there. I never eat it.
Oh, really? So you don't make it in a pot?
No.
Really?
No.
But see, I make rice often.
Do you?
Yeah. You're not a fan?
Not particularly. I remember growing up, my sisters always loved chicken and rice soup. It's always sort of disgusted me. But, you know, whenever I go and have, you know, Chinese food, I love rice. But it's not something like I go, oh, let's have rice and...
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. We have rice all the time.
Do you?
Yes.
Rice with vegetables, rice with chicken. Do you have a wok?
Eggs. You name it.
Really? Do you have a wok?
I do not have a wok.
My wife and I, we had a wok and we don't know where it went.
Walked away.
I knew one of us was going to say.
Thank you.
I would say that a rice maker does not make sense.
Why?
Just simply because I make rice so much in a pot.
Oh.
But I have heard a lot of good things about it, which is why I was looking for counsel from you.
Well, I would say this, in my limited knowledge of his rice maker, it's always perfect. There's a consistency to it that it is what it is. So having not made a lot of rice, I go, oh, look.
Okay, so I'm going to say it doesn't make sense at this point while saying I also have an open mind.
All right. Well, that's the first time we're on a fence here.
That could be the very first time I've said that.
Does this make sense? Cheater reading glasses.
Oh.
Listen to me. I have, I don't know how many pair. 6, 7 of various magnification. They're scattered everywhere. And they do not make sense to me. They do not. I mean.
So you're saying just get yourself a pair of glasses.
Well, yes. I have a pair of glasses.
Well, then why do you have the cheater readers?
Well, because sometimes true confession. Sometimes I lose them. Where's my glass? I need to have like one of those Apple things on my pair. You know, sometimes I'll go days and can't find my glasses, and then I find them.
Really?
But I've got like 6 or 7 pairs from decades. You know.
Well, that's the reason why you keep losing your glasses. You have so many pairs of them, it doesn't matter.
Honey, I can't see that's the weather easy. Channel.
Let's go to the beach. You don't need glasses at the beach. Yeah, cheaters don't make sense to me. But I know people love them. But to me, they're just an annoyance.
I have never used cheaters, and I have one pair of glasses.
Your day's coming.
That's it. One pair of glasses. Right. That's it.
Cheaters don't make sense to me?
No, they don't make sense to me.
Rice maker?
I want to say no.
On the fence.
101.5 WORD.
When God created us, He had a purpose for our lives. I'm Alan Jackson. I have the privilege of joining you each weekday to open our Bibles together. The Bible tells us that God has made us what we are. And in our union with Christ Jesus, He has created us for a life of good deeds, which He has already prepared for us to do. Join me and let's see what God has for us today.
A fresh look at Scripture, weekday mornings at 9:30, Alan Jackson Ministries on 101.5 WORD.
MyPillow's excited to bring you the biggest bedding sale ever, just in time for Christmas. Hey, it's John Hall. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles, towels. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more, all with the biggest discounts ever. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, everyone you know. So, go to MyPillow.com, use promo code WORD, or call 800-391-0954. You'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98. And get all your shopping done now while quantities last.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Marketing your business is hard. It's so competitive, and getting new customers is as hard as keeping your existing ones. We know it because we're a local business too. So when it comes to marketing your business and getting new customers, we know how to do it. Our digital marketing firm, Salem Surround, is built to create customized solutions to your business, not your competitors, just you. Reach out to us at salemsurround.com and we'll work with you to create those solutions that will increase your business and bring you new customers. Salemsurround.com.
The holidays are upon us. Folks are heading downtown to shop and see the sights. But the most stunning place just might be First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, with our sanctuary all decked out for Christmas. Best of all, we celebrate what Christmas really means. So come, bring your family and friends for Sunday worship, 1045 326th Avenue. Then stay downtown to eat and shop. The true light of Christmas shines at First Presbyterian Church.
Trip to Europe. Visit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums. Go skydiving. Okay, so you know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune into Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Kanodic and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group Saturdays at 10 a.m. to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do the things you've always dreamt about doing in retirement. Listen every Saturday morning at 10 to Your Retirement Blueprint with Accurate Solutions Group. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
Chris Martin's back with us. He's a regular guest on our show. Chris Martin, he's the author of Terms of Service, The Real Cost of Social Media. He's a content and marketing editor at Moody Publishers. Wrote a really interesting piece about it's okay to simply be. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're good.
Nice to see you, Chris. I want to read a little bit of this Jacques Ellul piece that you were writing about. Can I do that for you,
post.
Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is from Ellul's book, The Presence of the Kingdom. I'm just going to read this part. We've lost the meaning of true action, which is the testimony of a profound life. Action, which comes from the heart, which is the product of faith, not of myth or propaganda or of mammon. What matters is to live and not to act. In this world, this is a revolutionary attitude, for the world only desires utilitarian action, has no desire for life at all. We cannot exaggerate the significance of the fact of being spiritually alive. We must cease to believe that life depends only on vitamins, hormones, physical culture. We must get rid of the idea of, quote, the sound mind in the sound body, which is only another way of getting rid of life for the sake of action. Now, you, Chris, found yourself sick the month of November. Did you have RSV? Were you down with COVID? What was your deal?
No, man. I had a cold. So my wife had a cold like all of October. And then that turned into a sinus infection. Took her like two rounds of antibiotics and steroids to get out of it. Somehow my daughter and I avoided it all of October, but then like Halloween week, like the end of that week, I started to feel bad. Mine was a sinus infection, then an ear infection. First time I've ever had one of those as an adult. Took me a solid 3.5 weeks. It was basically Thanksgiving weekend where I finally started to feel well.
Wow.
Two rounds of antibiotics and steroids. Yeah, it wasn't the most miserable I've felt as an adult. But it was the longest I've felt bad, right? Like I was sick basically the whole month. I was only time I had to take a day off work was when like antibiotics were making my stomach feel rough. Other than that, it was like I was able to work, was able to do stuff, but I was going to bed like 8 o'clock, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so it was, man, it was rough. And when I was sick, I had planned on, I don't think I said this in the piece, I maybe did. November is known as National Novel Writing Month. NaNoWriMo is what it's called. And I really want to get into writing fiction and have like five different ideas. And a couple of them are actually, you know, have a few thousand words written for them. And I was like, I've got this one. I want it to be pretty short, maybe 20,000 words, 25,000 words, which is a pretty short book. Probably, you know, that'd be a couple hundred, maybe 100 pages, 120 pages, something like that. And I was like, I want to write most of it in the month of November. I already had about 3,000 words done. I was like, you know, if I do 1,000 words a day, that's very feasible. I could pull that off. And then I got sick. And I was just super discouraged because I was so sure that I had this great idea, had this work that I wanted to do, wanted to write almost the whole novel in the month of November. And then was just like, you know, just at that moment got sicker than I've been in a while, for a longer period than I've been in a while. And I was just really discouraged about it. And I think that that was weighing on me the whole month of November as much as being sick actually was. And I was reminded of that Olo quote, which I had read actually back in like July and decided to finally write about it. And so I was reminded of that Olo quote. And at the same time, this time of year, I wrote in the piece, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but this time between Thanksgiving and Christmas feels like the Friday afternoon of the calendar year. I've heard other people mm-hmm. say that. I didn't come up with that, but it feels like the Friday afternoon of the calendar year, where it's like, it's not like you're slacking off or anything, but it just feels like the weekend's around the corner, or, you know, like you got Christmas and New Year and all that.
Yeah.
And this time of year has always been a time both for rest in some sense, like Moody Publishers, where I work, we get the last 2 weeks of December off. And so it's a time of rest in some respect, even though there's a lot of travel and hustle and bustle and all. But at the same time, it's also one of the times of year, I think, because of the relative ease of everything else, is when I get kind of most creative. And like some ideas that have been percolating throughout the busyness and rhythms of normal life, you know, I maybe have a free Tuesday between Christmas and New Year's that I typically don't have. And it's like, oh man, you know, I've thought of starting this podcast. Maybe I can sit down and actually look at what it would be like to do that. Or I got a new book idea that I want to start a proposal on, you know, things like that. And so on the way back from Thanksgiving, I was thinking about that a little quote, and I was thinking about this novel that I, you know, just didn't get to do anything about the whole month. And so I was kind of discouraged. But then I was also thinking about, you know, coming back from Indiana to Nashville, I had plenty of time to sit in the car and think as I was driving. I was like, man, I got this. I'd really love to do this podcast where it's just really kind of anything goes. I don't even edit it. It's just very laid back and kind of like a radio show format, but very laid back and chill. Not what you think of when you think of a highly produced podcast. But man, can I do that? What equipment would I have to buy? You know, I'm just thinking through all of these things. And I just fell back on that Olo quote of, you know, sometimes you just need to be content in being and not feel like you have to be doing. And I'm just the kind of person where, I mean, I like my pleasure, I like my leisure and my rest, don't get me wrong. But I am the kind of person who could just be doing things all the time, and finding myself defined by those things that I'm doing. I've written two books in the last 2 years, and it feels weird going into this season not having another one teed up where it's like, hey, this is the next one that I'm working on. And you can start to, I think all of us can feel this way, whether it's our work or even our family. Perhaps if you're listening and you work in a church, certainly church work can just be all consuming. We can get in this mindset that if we're not doing, we're no one. And if we're not accomplishing something or being efficient or making progress, that we really lack, like that our humanity is somehow tarnished, or that we aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Or you could surrender, right, and go into goblin mode.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Goblin mode. I'm so glad you used that term. It's a glorious, beautiful term. Yeah. And I think there's a temptation. I mean, some of us are maybe more prone to that way, and where we need to be kind of pushed off the couch and, hey, go do something. But some of us need a little bit of goblin mode in our lives, you know, like some of us need like a week of goblin mode to recover from being the opposite, whatever the opposite is. And so I think I just needed to be encouraged by, and I hope anyone listening or who read the piece is encouraged, like, hey, in this season of Christmas, whether you're getting your house ready to host 15 family members, or you're dealing with the loss of a loved one this season, or you're trying to run around and buy those last five gifts and you're just losing your mind, stressed out, whatever it is, you got kids' Christmas parties. I understand that life, whatever it is. My hope is that this Christmas season, if no other time, maybe you can be encouraged to know that what you do does not define who you are. And I think being that's not new. Hopefully that's not novel to any of us. But I think it's good to be reminded that simply being in the presence of God and being a carrier of the Holy Spirit and a messenger of God and light in the world, that's enough sometimes, a lot of times, even if you feel like you're not doing everything you need to be doing.
I like that very much. It's okay to simply be, right? Sometimes it's more than enough. And again, you know, the calendar is telling us it's coming up. And, of course, everyone's going to be thinking about Christmas and busy, busy, busy. But, boy, it's sure nice to lay it down, to surrender, and to have nothing on the agenda.
I have a terrible time with that.
Do you?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know what's happened. I think maybe it's because I've been really working a lot lately. Chris, you probably identify with this. Each night this week, I sit down, I'm done with all my stuff, and I think, I'm just going to sit here, I'm going to read, I'm going to watch something, whatever. I can't do it. I'm like, oh, no, I should read that news story so I understand it better. And I just go. I don't know what my problem is, but
that's not healthy.
I'm sure it's not.
Right? It's not good.
But Chris, you get where I'm coming from there.
Yeah, totally. And I think what's helped me, I don't want to say I'm in a position to give you advice about this.
No, that's okay. I'm asking for your advice, so go ahead.
What's helped me is I almost think of time like that, like budgeting. So like when my wife and I got married, we didn't have any money. I was going to seminary. I was making, you know, barely more than minimum wage at a job that was a salary, but, you know, wasn't a whole lot of money. And we were doing seminary and all that, newly married, had no money, all of that. And we felt like we could never spend money on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some people have the opposite problem. They spend too much money on themselves. We felt guilty going to buy a $3 drink at Starbucks, mm-hmm. or which we weren't doing every day. But even if we went to do it once a week, we were like, we were asking each other for permission to spend $5. Mm-hmm. And we weren't in such a position where we needed to do that. So in order to feel a little less guilty about that, we needed to set ourselves a fun money budget, which we still have to this day. And we still only give each other $50 a month for fun money. And then obviously birthday money goes into that bucket and all of that. But we have fun money budgets to allow us the freedom to spend money on things we want to spend money on, music or a video game or a concert with a friend or whatever, so that we don't feel this like guilt of, oh, man, but can we? I don't know. I think we should think about time. I have to do this for myself because I can be overly disciplined to the point of being too strict on myself about time. And I can feel like you, Kathy, where I like, if I do anything that's fun but not productive, I feel bad. Mm-hmm. I think we should do the same thing as we budget our time throughout the day. Like go into a day saying like, hey, from 8 to 10 o'clock tonight, which is usually like the last 2 hours before I go to bed, I'm going to let myself do this fun thing and not feel bad about it. Whether it's read that novel, play that video game, play a board game, whatever, watch that Netflix show I've been meaning to watch. I think we should give ourselves fun money time or fun time through and like calendar that. If you're like me, it sounds like maybe you're a little bit like me, calendar that into your day so that you don't feel guilty about that. Maybe feel a little less guilty about it. I'm not saying it'll make it go away, so that you maybe feel a little less goblin modey when you just sit down and just be like, I guess I'll just watch something. No, like, hey, I've made a plan to do this. And it's like part of my day where I want to do this. And that, I just think that kind of intentionality can go a really long way, and it feels a little bit less like you're just coasting through and taking the easy way out. So anyway.
Very good advice. I like it, Chris. Yeah. Okay. So budget your fun time as you would budget your fun money. Yeah. Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Yeah. You guys have a good one. I'll talk to you next month. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us every month this year. It's been a ton of fun, Chris.
Very good.
Yeah. It has.
Chris Martin, the author of Terms of Service, The Real Cost of Social Media. You can find him online as well with Terms of Service. All right. No goblin mode for you tonight.
Hi, I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is a problem, markets are volatile, and the risk of running out of money in retirement is real. That's why I love annuities, and you should too. Your financial advisor doesn't want you to know that with our annuity strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year, and when the stock market goes down, your annuity won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and you should only invest if you learn the facts, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. if you want to use safe, low-fee annuities to build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our Retirement Readiness Kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
For most of us, it's hard to even look at. We've all seen the images of a hungry child. She can barely move because that hunger has left her exhausted, lifeless. There's a name for this. It's severe acute malnutrition. Save the Children works in poor areas and cares for the child you're thinking of right now. But they can't do it without you. Just $30 a month can help Save Children for less than a dollar a day. Whether it's providing emergency nutrition or protecting children fleeing from the war in Ukraine, or a child in need in any of the other 120 countries around the world where Save the Children works, your $30 a month can change everything for a child who's suffering. Call 888-884-4836. That's 888-884-4836. Or give online at SaveChildrenToday.org.
Are you ready to deepen your faith on a spectacular 9-day Mediterranean cruise? Join Alistair Begg in August 2023 to renew your vision, purpose, and connection with Christ as Alistair powerfully unpacks God's Word. Explore the biblical landscapes Paul encountered as he shared the gospel along breathtaking cliffside villages. Simply call 855-565-5519. Or visit deeperfaithcruise.com for all the details.
Right now, there are young people across the world facing a tough choice. Continue their dream of education or drop out to help their family put food on the table. You can help change their future in a single moment. See how far your support can go at unbound.org.
Listen on your smart speaker at wordfm.com, the Word FM app, iHeart, TuneIn, and on Odyssey. In your car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
Hey, for those of you who missed Greg and Rebecca Sparks on our show, they were just terrific.
Fabulous.
And so Gary, who's functioning as our producer right now, has put the Sparks interview and their mini concert they did for us on the air up on YouTube at The Word Pittsburgh. So if you'd like to see Greg and Rebecca sing, get a little preamble of their concert, which is coming up Sunday night at Mount Lebanon UP Church. Tickets are not required for that.
Show up.
But it's their only live performance this season, this Christmas season.
They're fabulous.
That's coming up Sunday night. And if you want to watch it again, find us at The Word Pittsburgh on YouTube.
Very nice. Okay, this is a story for not for the faint of heart.
Oh, no.
I kind of pause as I deliver this news. My oldest kid always talked about this, and then I was going to, yeah. Anyway, I see an article today about your bathroom. And your bathroom habits that...
Where are we going?
After you do your business, it's important, this new article says, because you should close the lid as you flush. Because apparently, scientists at the University of Colorado at Boulder say there is an invisible plume which contains microscopic particles of your business. It's a health hazard for those who are nearby. The research team used
Who's nearby?
I don't know. You know, it's a family bathroom. Okay. People wander in, right? The research team used bright green lasers and cameras to reveal for the first time how these plumes are rapidly ejected from a lidless public cubicle. So I just want to put that out there as a public service announcement from the ride home. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not hungry.
Enjoy your meal.
Changed.
Just
after
giving
that,
yourself a little heads
I'm
up.
Not
that's all
changed.
I'm saying.
All right, let me bring up another thing that could turn your stomach.
But we're ending the show.
No, it's good. No, it's good. This is good. Maybe, I don't know, it was on Monday show, perhaps, of this week. We were talking about the group Midnights. Do you remember this? Right, we were doing a segment. I feel like I need to bring it up in this segment because this is when it happened. This is when it happened. We were talking about records that were broken in 2022.
Right, and this group, the Midnights...
Right.
Was like, you know, astounding. Right. And we were like, you and I were like, what? We never heard of who the Midnight.
Right. So I look them up, and I find a group called the Midnight, based in Atlanta. And I'm reading about them. I'm like, well, they can't certainly have broken all these records.
I never even heard of them.
Never thinking that it was not the group. It was I didn't know that was Taylor Swift's album.
The name of the album is Midnight.
I knew all the records that were broken. I did not know the title of it.
I'm telling
anyway,
you.
We sounded like idiots. You know why?
Because we are oftentimes,
and it was not the group, the Midnights.
To me, that's kind of like, you know, just a generational thing.
I mean, it's not a generational thing.
Exactly.
No,
I mean, I don't know. Do you know any of her music, Gary?
I've never, to my knowledge, heard one of her songs.
Neither have I.
Kidding me.
But Kathy's got young daughters.
No. Yeah.
So you know, of course,
I understand that.
Right. What I know about Taylor Swift is the whole sort of, you know, ticket controversy.
But I'm listening to classical music and jazz.
Yeah, but the three of us, we're aware of the news, right?
We are.
And we talked about Taylor Swift's album. We talked about how many records it broke three different times.
Yeah, I blame you.
But we didn't. You blame me.
You should know better.
The album is called Midnights, plural.
Right. And so God bless Taylor Swift and for breaking all those records and for our ignorance of not knowing and
but if you would like to look up an Atlanta-based band called The Midnight, go ahead and do it.
How about The Midnight Special? Right?
What's The Midnight Special?
What? Now, that's what we grew up with. That was Gary and I. The Midnight Special was like the concert show. It was on like at 11:30 at night on Saturday. The Midnight Special. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
I don't
didn't
know
that?
What do you mean? It was a live concert?
No, but it was, you know, they... new and exciting, you know, stars of the day were on the Midnight Special.
On radio or TV?
TV.
TV.
There's
really?
A Midnight Special. Yeah.
No, I don't know that.
Come
These
on.
Kids today, Kathy, I'll tell you what.
Midnight Special, Kath, look
okay.
it up. I'm sure
all
it's
right.
all over YouTube. You can find probably the band that you love there.
I could find probably a lot of bands
I
that I love
could.
There.
Midnight
Special.
Mm-hmm.
Network TV.
Yeah, big
no,
time.
No, there wasn't cable then, right?
Have a great night. God bless you.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
This is Carol.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.